A lot of times when we talk about things that we're believing for, and we talk about faith, faith is one of those things that truly God has given us. We have the measure of faith. We have His measure of faith. The faith that we have. I mean, stop and think about this. Even think about the faith that it took just to get saved. You know, it tells us in Romans that, you know, God calls things that are not as though they are. God sees things differently than we do. With a natural perspective, we see things only and perceive things only that we see here in this natural perspective. But God's not limited. God calls things into existence. Those things that are not, He calls them, speaks to them as though they already are. He sees those things as they already are because in the spiritual realm, they are already done. So to us in the natural world, we can't see it. We don't perceive it yet, but He sees it already. And so He calls those things. They're not as though they are. And you think about your own faith and the faith that it took just to even come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'll tell you what, we look at things from the natural perspective and you think about it. Before you got saved, I mean, before you acknowledged, maybe you believed in God. I do remember I believed in God. I didn't understand what Jesus did. I didn't understand my need for a Savior. But I believed that there was a God. Well, that wasn't enough for salvation. I didn't have the faith to understand. I didn't have the abilities to understand. In the natural mind, I did not have the ability to understand the things such as sin. How does somebody really understand sin? Now, I can know. I think we all know that we fall short. We know what sin is. But none of us really know, what does sin look like? So when Jesus comes and He takes my sin away, what does that look like? I mean, it's not something that we can perceive. It's not something that's tangible. It's not something that we can really understand. We understand it conceptually. But we don't understand it. We can't see it in reality. It takes faith to see and believe that there is a God who you can't see. It takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It takes faith to believe that He became flesh. You and I didn't live 2,000 years ago to see this and witness it for ourselves. It takes faith to believe that. You read it. Somebody told it to you. You didn't see it. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that Jesus was a man, that He died, that He rose again, that He ascended to heaven, that He erased, removed all sin, all of my sins, gone. That takes faith. That's not something I can perceive. It's not something that I can understand with my natural mind. Now, that's beyond us as people. That's beyond us as individuals. This is the amount of love that God has for us. Not only does He give us salvation, not only does He give us all that we need for salvation, He's provided that through His Son. He gave His Son. His Son died for us so that we could have salvation. But you know what? He even gives us the faith to believe that those things took place. We often worry about, well, do I have enough faith? You know what? He's given you His faith. You have the faith of the Lord inside of you. It's not your faith. You know, I was reading this just this morning. I'm going to read this from the book of Romans. I'm going to read it first from the King James, starting in verse 29. Well, I'll start in verse number 31. What shall we then say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Okay, right there we can live there for a long time. We'll come back to that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Those are great words. Those are great and powerful, powerful words spoken by the author, by Paul, as he's sending this letter to the Romans. Now let's go back for just a moment and look at verse number 32. But let's read verse number 32 in the Amplified Bible. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? God gave us everything, including his son. Will he not give us all other things? We sit and worry about the things. We sit and we worry about, will I have enough? Will I have enough finances to get through this week? Will I have enough to eat? Will I have enough to provide for my family? Will I have enough health? Will I be able to overcome these difficulties in my marriage? Will I have enough to fill whatever the need is, the void is that you have in your life? We ask these questions all the time. God gave us his very son. He withheld nothing from us. And so what the son, what Jesus accomplished, why would he withhold any of those things from us? He's even given you the faith to believe that which is otherwise impossible to believe. You have the faith of the Lord to believe for these things, and you've got the word to stand on. So what is it that you're short of today? What are you short of? Is it finances? Is it health? It's relationships? Is it family? Something at work? What is it you're short? What do you feel like you're shortchanged today? What is it you're short on today? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? See, we sit back and we say to ourselves, well, you know, God's been good. He provided this. I do remember when God did this. And we're satisfied with that one thing that we saw that God did 7 years ago. And we remember it, we acknowledge it. But we don't believe that today he's going to do whatever it takes and has already done whatever it takes to meet your needs. We don't believe that those things are going to come to pass. A lot of times it's because we don't believe that we're worthy of it. We're not, but this is where faith comes in. And a lot of times we think we don't have the faith. I just don't know. I don't have the strength. I don't know if I can believe God for those things. The faith is already in you because you know what? The Spirit of God is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have all the faith that you need. You have all the faith that you need to believe for all the things that he's already done. So what are the things that you need today? Because it says right here, it tells me right here in his word, that if he gave up everything, including his son, then why would he not give you the things that the son did? He gave the son. Jesus came for the purpose of taking away all of our sins, giving us that freedom and that liberty from sin. And it's the sins that withhold. It's the sins that keep us in bondage. It's the sins that continue to cause us to spiral downward. But all those sins are gone, washed away, forgiven. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept the work that he did, then your sins are removed. Your sins are gone. Gone. There's nothing that hinders you from walking in all the good things that Jesus Christ has for you. There's nothing that keeps you from receiving all those good things that Jesus Christ has for you. And you might say, well, I just haven't experienced those things. Doesn't mean they're not there. It just means you haven't experienced those things. Because we've got to believe for those things. You've got to believe that those things are already established for you, just waiting for you to have them. Look at exactly what he says here. Speaking of God, he who did not withhold or spare, God has spared nothing for you. Nothing. So what is it that God can't do? What is in your life that God can't accomplish the victory and the overcoming? What is there in your life that God can't do? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that he cannot do. The truth of the matter is he's already done all of it. He's provided everything. There's nothing that he cannot do. And so if it tells us that he did not withhold or spare, he has spared nothing. Nothing has slid past him. It's not like something that you have need of He didn't take notice of it. Whoop, that one slipped past. Didn't see that one. That one caught me off guard. No, he sees everything. He knows everything and has already provided everything. He has spared nothing for you. It's personal with him. He spared nothing for you, including even his own son. But he gave him up for us all. Will he not, with him, freely and graciously give us all those other things? And notice it's important there that it's with him because Jesus did the work. You see, there is nothing, whatever your need is, Jesus came. Let me say something that's going to be, it's going to strike you as odd when you hear it. And to the ear that we're trained to hear with, it's going to sound kind of odd. But hear me all the way through. The motivation for Jesus coming to earth as God coming to earth, the motivation was not to remove sin. The removing of sin was the action that it took. The motivation for Jesus, for God becoming flesh and coming to this earth and dying, the motivation, the drive was not to just remove sin. That's the way we look at it, and we settle for that. No, that's the action. That's the course that it took. The motivation for God becoming flesh, for Jesus coming to this earth, for enduring life on this earth, and then dying that horrific death that he did, and raising again to defeat death, was not just so that you would no longer have sin. It was so, the motivation was so that you would have relationship with the Lord once again. Because this was the purpose from the very beginning. From the very start, the purpose of God and man was for man to have fellowship with God. This is what God desires. Sin separated God from men. Sin made it so that man had no access to God. This is not what God wanted. God wants, this is the love that God has for you. He wants relationship with you. And so Jesus came to provide for that relationship. The way to do that was to remove the sin because it was the sin that hindered. It was the sin that closed that avenue, that access to God. So you have to remove the sin. So he came, he died, he defeated sin so that we could have relationship. That's the motivation for what Jesus did. So Jesus came and he removed sin so that we have that relationship. We have access directly to the throne. We have relationship with the Father through the Son. And there's nothing that he has withheld. So all the things that Jesus did, and Jesus, when he did the work, provided victory in everything, making you, as we just saw, an overcomer. And we just read that a few verses ago, and as we read down through those verses, we are overcomers, more than conquerors. Verse number 37 says, let me read verse number 37 from the Amplified. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain surpassing victory through him who loved us. You're more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Most of us would just be satisfied being a conqueror. We're more than that. I don't even know what all that means. You know, there's more there that's being spoken than I understand right at the face value. Most of us would just settle for being conquerors. I want to be able to conquer sickness. I want to be able to conquer my financial problems. I want to be able to conquer the relationship problems. I want to be able to conquer that problem that I have at work or whatever it is that's nagging at you today. I want to be able to conquer that. You're more than a conqueror. You are a conqueror. You already have conquered that through Christ. But you're more than that. This is what God has given us. And yet we live at a standard below all of that. We don't live like we're conquerors. We live like we're beggars, begging for the things that the Lord has already freely provided for us. Whatever your situation is, you're more than a conqueror and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. It's through him. It's not through you. It's not through your abilities, it's not through your strength, it's not through your wisdom, it's not through your business acumen that you're going to become an overcomer and gain all these surpassing victories. It's through him. Yield yourself to him. Acknowledge what he did and that it has provided you for everything that you need. Whatever you need a victory in today, it's already there. It's already for you. And God, who spared nothing, including his son, will he not also freely and graciously give us all other things? Of course he will. The answer is yes. See, part of the problem that we have is we're very conscious. We're self-conscious. We get ourselves. We think about all these things through ourselves rather than being Christ-conscious. Instead of thinking about what I need to do or how I should accomplish or how I should gain this, all you need to do is stop thinking about self and start thinking about God, what he's done. Be Christ-conscious. Think about what Jesus has already done. And he's done these things so that we could have that relationship with God the Father. And part of that relationship is that means you have access to all the things that he's established for you. Every victory, every overcoming, surpassing victory is already yours. It's already established for you in the heavenly realms. It's there. It's established. And you have access to those spiritual realms, to those heavenly realms, because of who you are in Jesus Christ. Nothing stands between you and the Father. Nothing stands between you and the Father. Oh, but you know what? I've sinned since that time. Christ took care of those sins. Nothing stands between you and the Father. Nothing stands between you and those things that he's established for you. Nothing. Except maybe you. Yeah, you know, I'm the one that hinders me from receiving. I'm the one that hinders me from being able to grab hold of those things. And sometimes I'm the one that says, I don't have the faith to believe. I don't have the faith to trust God for this. I don't have the faith to believe for that. I need more faith. I need more faith. You don't need any more faith. You have all the faith that you need. Word says you've been given the measure of faith. It's his measure of faith. It's his faith. Holy Spirit is in you. This is invested in you. You have all the faith that you need. Oh, it's not your faith. It's the faith that's in you. I'll use that faith. But again, it's not up to me. We are so self-conscious in what I must do, how I get to this place. Stop being self-conscious and be Christ-conscious. Be conscious of what Christ did for you and the motivation that was behind it and what it established and what it means for you. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son. He spared nothing, not even his son. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us. You can say you. He gave up his son for you. He not also will him freely and graciously give us all other things? The question is answered by the question itself and the tone of the question. Of course he will. If he gave up his son, he spared nothing. Will he not give us all other things as well? Yes, he will. And he already has. And if you don't think you have the faith to believe, that faith is already in there. Rather than being self-conscious, thinking about self and how you accomplish these things, think of Christ. Be Christ-conscious. Think of what he's already done and that the faith is already in you to receive all those things that he's already freely given, for he's withheld nothing. So what is your need today? He's withheld nothing. Well, let's pray and let's agree together. Let's pray and agree together today that you can walk into the fullness of all those things that he has for you to the glory of Jesus Christ, because he's glorified when you receive all those things that he paid a very high price for you to have.